Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. The Apostle Paul encouraging us of what was given to him for us. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect." I hope that makes your heart perk up, because this is to you, them that are complete, them that are filled with all the fullness of what has been offered. And this is the gospel, and praise be to God. "That your faith should stand, not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God," verse 5. "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained or appointed before the world unto our glory." Hallelujah. This is before anything. This was given to us. It was appointed to us before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received..." Done. "Not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." And thank you, Jesus, by his grace, that's what goes on in here every time we gather together in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And this is what you will get. This is what you will have. This is what will be produced as you follow Paul as he followed Christ. Thanks be to God. Now, on to the heights of glory that he has for us perfect-hearted kings. Amen. And as we just read, it's woven throughout the Word of God. We know that they wrote those things for us. The Bible tells us this. We thank God that through that which was given to the Apostle Paul, it unlocked all of the gems in that mystery that had been hidden. The bride for the Lamb, the pearl of great price, the ruling and reigning jointly together with Jesus Christ, whether from Adam and the rib portion, or Esther, or Ruth, or Rebekah, or the Shulamite. And now, praise God, as we've gone through, even in these perfect-hearted kings, especially in Josiah, this type of the bride for us in the church age. Praise God. Now, tonight, God willing, I was thinking we're going to conclude, but God has given another encouragement for one more additional study if we get to next Wednesday. And that'll be a special little add-on, and I was encouraged of it by our beloved Ty, and I thank God for it. But we'll begin here tonight in 2 Chronicles 35. And we'll go back and forth between that and 2 Kings like we have done. But this will be the last of the studies on Josiah for now. Now, in 35:18, this was the joy of the perfect heart in the perfect-hearted King Josiah. All right? And so as we see that there, and again, that's 2 Chronicles 35, verse 18. And there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. And the priests and the Levites and all Judah and all Israel that were present and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Josiah, brothers and sisters, was overwhelmed by the Lamb. And he was specifically overwhelmed by the blood of the Lamb. No one ever before him or after him to this day ever gave such an abundance of sacrifice as Josiah. And what this represents again is the love and the appreciation and how all the power, all the grace, all the mercy, all the finished work, all the cleansing, everything for every need is in the blood of the Lamb. Is it any wonder why we know, as we are of that one piece of beaten gold, the lid upon the mercy seat, praise God, upon the ark. Is it any wonder why those cherubim, they come out of that mercy seat, they come out looking right back down upon the mercy seat, upon the blood. Their eyes never stray from their gaze upon the blood. The perfect-hearted kings are always looking at the blood of the Lamb. Everything was done with the blood of the Lamb. Everything was finished with the blood of the Lamb. Everything of God was given when I see the blood. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. So here we have this one that was surpassed, as we're going to read here in a moment, all of the other kings, every one of them. We're going to understand something here tonight, but it's because he loved the blood. He just simply loved the Lamb of God. Now, notice here in this verse, did you notice, as it said there, and there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Joshua kept. The words keep and kept, you don't find that in the Word of God very much. Matter of fact, you find it right here in the Old Testament, one other place, speaking of, again, this event. And in the New Testament, you find that kept and kept four times. Two times spoken by Jesus Christ himself, and two times of and about the bride. Now, the reason is because, well, let's just go over and read Revelation 3:10. How wonderful this kept and kept is. How powerful it is and how needful it is in our life. In Revelation 3:10, this is the Philadelphia church. And it says there in Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now, it's been so beautiful. We've been reading about Josiah, how God's wrath was going to be poured forth on Israel. It was coming, and it was going to hit Judah as well, too, and every single one of them. Josiah was struck in heart, and he went before the Lord, and God saw that in his heart he was moved in such remorse that the fathers before him and his people had not followed the Lord in all the truth, not just some in part, but in all his ways. He turned to the Lord like no other king, and the Lord was so struck and heard him and loved him that he said, I'll tell you what, the wrath is not going to be changed, but it's not going to come until I have you. So praise the Lord. It's because he kept the Passover like none other. And here we are, the Church of Philadelphia, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. You've endured. Praise God. You've held fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Praise God. How sweet it is just to keep what he's given, just to keep and treasure, praise the Lord, the very best that he has, which is everything of his. Thinking of it and hearing it like that, we would be crazy not to. But we understand we're just a bunch of crazy sheep. And we need to be encouraged all the time. We must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. This is why we come back into Bible study Wednesday after Wednesday and on Sundays and Fridays and continue to hear the Word of God. And as the Holy Ghost strums upon our heart during the week, to be drawn immediately as the Lord is dealing with our hearts, whether it's in prayer, but especially in Scripture. And I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, when the Lord is encouraging you in something to look up or go see or go look up, stop and go look it up. Go look into it. The Holy Ghost is dealing with you. Don't delay. There isn't anything more important. So see, there's something about what's kept in a heart, isn't there? And it causes Jesus to react in the most tremendous of loving ways. And what's so beautiful, there was no other heart like the heart of Josiah. His love exceeded all the other kings. And it was granted to him with the honor of the Lord's commendation in 2 Kings chapter 23. Go on over to 2 Kings in chapter 23. And we've read this verse a few times, but let's think of what this really means and how powerful this statement is. 2 Kings 23:25, and this is speaking of Josiah. And like Josiah, unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. Praise God. It was everything, wasn't it? And what's so beautiful, his love for grace and mercy and for the truth, it exceeded all the others. He actually became the benchmark. He became the benchmark. And it wasn't Josiah, it was the perfect heart. It always was, and it always will be. But thank the Lord, I loved how David even said it. He said that his knowledge and what he was given of the Lord, it surpassed all of his teachers. Do you recall David saying that? He did in the Word of God. He said, I'm so thankful. And we are not in a competition. I want us to understand this. But what is clear is that there is no end to the increase that God will give you. No end. The building up of the word of his grace in our lives is infinite. And by the grace of God, let's just keep going. Hallelujah. Now, this precious story, it goes on, and let's go back to 2 Chronicles 35. And we'll pick it up from there. We'll go back to 2 Kings and read it from there as well, too, here in a minute. But in verse 18 of 2 Chronicles 35... And there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet, neither did the Passover such as Passover as Josiah kept, and the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now, in the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. But he sent ambassadors to him, saying, What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war, for God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God. Who is with me that he destroy thee not? Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself, that he might fight with him, and hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archer shot at King Josiah. And the king said to his servants, "Have me away, for I am sore wounded." Now listen to this. His servants therefore took him out of that chariot and put him into the second chariot that he had. And they brought him to Jerusalem. And he died and was buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers. And all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. And Jeremiah the prophet, lamented for Josiah. And all the singing men and the singing women spake of Josiah in their lamentations to this day, and made them an ordinance in Israel. And behold, they are written in the Lamentations. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and his goodness, according to that which was written in the law of the Lord, and his deeds first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. Now, you read something like that, and if you didn't know the word of God, you'd say, well, my goodness, what a sad defeat at the end. No, it was chariot time. What do you think about chariot time? Huh? I better perk you up. You know, Elijah had a chariot time. That chariot always speaks of a rapture. And I thank God there's no other place for our brother Josiah but a chariot. And he won. Praise God, he won God's best, just as Elijah won. But specifically, did you notice that? He was placed in the second chariot. Kind of interesting, isn't that? Now, I want you to think about what we read concerning our precious Josiah back in Kings. It said that, like unto him, there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, according to all the law of Moses. That's what Josiah knew. He knew all the word, praise God, that was given at that time. And he turned to it fully. Praise the Lord. So he had a full reward in what was given to him. But yet, that second chariot specifically, if you go read it, what it does mean second place. It's not the place of the first chariot. And praise be to God, that first chariot place was not for him. First chariot place would be for one that would come. And matter of fact, praise God, I'm confident she's here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. How wonderful he is. Now, remember this, saints. Hebrews 11 tells us, without us, they cannot be made perfect. They cannot be made perfect. The full overcomers of the Old Testament cannot be made perfect without us. And we thank God that there is this anointing that is on the life of the bride. There is such an anointing of a place that she will fill. And matter of fact, she is the place that completes Jesus. What was given to Paul fulfills or completes the word of God. The bridal message completes Jesus. Praise God. And so we thank God for what has been given to us. Jesus does not take the throne as God until he has his wife that rules and reigns jointly together with him. So we thank the Lord that we know what this second rank is in a sense, but we are grateful to God that we do know what is for us and what will be again for the full overcomers of the Old Testament. Now, let's continue on here in many of these glories. Did you notice here that it was the servants that carried him into or put him in? See, we're going to read this here in a minute in 2 Kings as well too. But the words carried him into or put him in are the same word in the Hebrew. It's rechab, and it means to mount up and ride. They weren't putting him down. They were putting him in to mount up and ride. Praise God, once again, this is the chariot ride, hallelujah, to heaven. This speaks of that translation again that our precious Elijah was so gifted and given because the Lord loved him. And notice who puts him there. It says his servants put him there. Again, you look into the meaning of that, it means the worshipers. They put him in there. I thank the Lord. I see this so sweetly for our lives, brothers and sisters. When we studied, and I've mentioned it here the last few times, when the bride is brought in for the wedding feast, she is brought in on what is called a litter, L-I-T-T-E-R. It is a platform. It's a platform with a throne on it. And she would sit upon that throne and that platform, and she would be carried in. And she would be carried in by her friends. And those friends would bring her in on their shoulders and bring her on her throne into the wedding feast. Praise God. To be with the people and obviously to be with her husband. Hallelujah. What do we think of when it speaks of that the ark will be brought into the temple? We're part of that ark. We're the cherubim on the mercy seat. Remember when the smoke and all filled the Holy of Holies? The priests were there, but they had to leave. And all that was left were the cherubim and the glory of God. It's all here. Just walk in it by faith. Praise the Lord. Now, you think about where they brought him to. Did you notice that as well too? They brought him into Jerusalem. If you think about where we're headed, and we are that city by the grace of God, but it's New Jerusalem. And it is that double peace, hallelujah. And let's go on over and read this section over there in 2 Kings. As we close this out, chapter 23. Again, that's 2 Kings, chapter 23. Read from verse 30. And his servants carried him in a chariot dead from Megiddo and brought him to Jerusalem and buried him, now notice this, in his own sepulcher. And the people of the land, they took note and all these things, and praise God, they bring up another king. But did you notice there they brought him in, praise God, and they put him in his own sepulcher. Doesn't say that about anybody else. He was there with his fathers, but there was a special place, praise the Lord, for him. See, again, this speaks of, brothers and sisters, the vessel that is only for the master's use. This is that wonderful, again, that setting apart, the holy, the most holy faith. Josiah represented those with the perfect heart that have the most holy faith. And Jeremiah, as we read back there in 2 Chronicles 35, it said that he lamented for Josiah. They loved him so much, they wrote songs about him. Lamentations, hallelujah, honored in such a way. Think about what it says in Revelation chapter 4 for us in verse 9. Let's turn there. The honor that the Lord will bestow upon the perfect-hearted ones of the New Testament. It says there, and when those four beasts, this is Revelation 4:9, and when those four beasts give glory, give honor, and give thanks, and noise, remember, and give God the glory in it. You can't give something you don't have. And this is the time that he's giving you all the glory, isn't it? Praise God. And this will be the time that we will give that back to him. And it will be us that's doing it. So when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever, oh my, look what happens. The 24 elders. Here we have the company of the full overcomers of the Old Testament. The friends of the bridegroom that have been there, praise God, the great cloud of witness that are seated round about the throne, and they do have crowns on their head. It tells us that back in verse 4. But it says, when this happens and the beast or the bride gives glory and honor and thanks to Jesus, his friends, the elders, fall down before him that sat on the throne, and they worship him that liveth forever and ever. And what do? They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, to receive your bride, and honor and power. Think of this, thou hast a little strength. He receives his power. He receives the throne from Father God at this time when she is with him. This is what she brings to him. For thou hast created all things. So here we have the testimony of those 24 elders, the full overcomers of the Old Testament. They now know and they see the manifestation of everything. All of those things that were hidden, they're rejoicing in it. The things that they wanted to look into, now they're seeing it. It's full. It's in abundance. It's in front of them. They now, everything that Daniel wanted, praise God, that he wept for. Oh, here it is. And he's throwing his crown. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things. Haven't that what we've been studying for months and now even years? That it was all created for us. Time and all of the planets, the galaxies, everything. But it was after us. We were in him before the foundation of it all. Thank you, Jesus. So here it says, and thou hast created all things, and for thy what? Pleasure. The good pleasure of his will. The good purpose of his will. This is all about the ecstasy of our Lord. This is all about, it's not good for man to be alone. Here it is. And what's so beautiful, can you see? Here is those sweet, precious, the cloud of witness. Without that witness, without those writings, we wouldn't have what we have. Not in this abundance. Amen. And here they are. Seeing the manifestation of everything that they went through, all of the depth of the mysteries that they were writing about, that they wanted to look into. And here's the evidence of all of it. And what do they say? It was for your pleasure, our friend Jesus. It was for your pleasure. We get it. We get it. And notice that. And for thy pleasure they are and were created. Oh my goodness. And that word created, again, saints, it means intimate fellowship after his likeness. That's incredible. Intimate fellowship after his likeness. Intimate fellowship after his likeness. This is intimate fellowship after his likeness. From glory to glory into the very image of him, his likeness, intimate fellowship. Look it up. Look it up and then raise the hands up and let him know. Well, we get to pray early tonight. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Sometimes it doesn't take a lot of words. Oftentimes it doesn't take a lot of time. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 38. I want you to really think about this. And these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. This is what we've been studying, saints. This is what this is. Jesus is going to take the throne as God. All right? And praise the Lord, men of war. I fought a good fight. The soldier that endures hardness, and it's a good soldier, praise the Lord. The men of war, and look at that, that could keep rank. Because thou hast kept the word of his patience. What trumpet do you want to hear? And it's not necessarily, you understand, to be in a rank. It's to be with him first. I want my spouse. I want to beholding him. Not just behold him. I want to beholding him. You want to behold him? That's great. I want to beholding him. Huh? How about you? See, there was a woman at his feet. She was holding him. And you're ridiculed for it. You're called a nut, stupid, a lot of different things. But like we started tonight, you're not normal. All these men of war, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. You know what that means? Those are the weapons enabling you to fight. You'll never fight unless you fall in love. You won't. You won't. When you're in love, you'll fight. When you love that deep, you'll go through it. It was an honor to see my little daughter-in-law with her son. It wasn't easy. Matter of fact, almost just about as hard as it could get. But it didn't matter. Because it's love. When you realize he's in love with you, you'll endure. You'll endure. You'll fight. You'll war. That's why the violent take heaven by force. You know that? Huh? A little violent crew out here, I guess, huh? And we seek peace with all men, don't we? Amen. We render unto Caesar what Caesar's. I don't need to get out here and be having a lot of different things. I've got a lot of thoughts. But I learn not to think about my thoughts. I do. I see things a lot of different ways. Doesn't matter. I'm not from here. You're not from here. Our citizenship is in heaven. He puts up whom he will. He puts down whom he will. You can get all bent out of shape by all these different things, but I think you better wake up, because what's happening is you're getting entangled with the affairs of this life. Amen. I've been there. I don't want to go back. I do not want to go back. Thank you, Lord. But all these men of war that could keep rank, kept and keep. Isn't that glorious? And he gives you all of it. Just put it in your hand. Gave it to you freely. All things. Because the Father said, how could I not? I gave him freely to you. It's all yours. Just keep it. Faith. Faith. And not your faith. The faith in his love. Faith in his faithfulness. Faith in his keeping. Faith in his foreknowledge. Faith in his predestinating you. Faith in his calling you. Faith in his choosing you. Faith in his justified you. Faith in His glorified you. Praise God. Beautiful little lilies. Hallelujah. So all these men of war, all of them that could keep rank, notice that was it. That's the standard. What happened to them? They came with a perfect heart. And Hebron means the association. This is, we're of the association of the bridal company. That's what we're this is our association. Yep, that's what I'm associated with. Who are you associated with? Oh, the bridal company. The men of war that keep rank with a perfect heart. That's what we associate with. And what's it all for? To make Him king. And then I love it. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make Him king. That innumerable multitude will stand there and wave those palms. Salvation to our God. The 144,000, they'll have their song. But I thank God we have our Song of Songs right now, don't we? Isn't He marvelous? See, this is so real. It's so precise. It's so exact. So beyond, and only the Spirit, as we began tonight in 1 Corinthians 2, only the Spirit can do this. This is what the Spirit does. Taking, yea, the deep things of God and showing them unto you. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and be dismissed.